that you give us the victory through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You tell us in your Word that if we are yours, we are part of your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. Lord, so we have the victory in and through Jesus Christ. But so oftentimes, we, Lord, if we are honest, we will admit that we encounter defeats in our life, and quite often, in fact, most every time, it's because we have traveled our own way. We have moved away from where you would have us, and we are not listening to the guidance of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, open our hearts and our minds. Open our ears today to your words. Guide us by your Spirit that we may be all that you have called us to be. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me take you back over 35 years ago to a time when there were no cell phones. Now, I know for some of you, that don't exist. You don't have that frame of reference. But we didn't have any cell phones back then. Well, when I was a young adult, the only form of communication you had in your vehicle, unless you were an amateur radio operator, was a CB radio. And you could pick up, you know, traffic reports. You could find out where they were running radar and all that kind of stuff. But Channel 9 was the emergency channel. And a lot of counties had people that monitored the emergency channel in case you had an emergency on the road. Well, probably about 2 o'clock one morning, on US 231 south of Brundage, somehow on that highway two vehicles ran together. It's a pretty bad accident, and they were the only two cars in sight. And one of the people involved in the accident had a CB radio, and they started calling for help. But there was a problem. Nobody heard them. Now, Brundage Police, which was the closest agency, had a CB radio, a base station in their police department with a radio antenna outside on a tower. But somehow, either they didn't have it tuned to Channel 9, or they wasn't, you know, whatever was happening, atmospherics, whatever, they didn't pick it up. Now, in Troy, we didn't have an outside CB antenna because we had too many radios. We didn't listen to the CB radio, but all the police cars had CB radios, and they didn't hear anything either. So here are these people needing help on the highway, and nobody hears them. Well, thankfully, finally, somebody did, because probably about 2 o'clock or so that morning in the communication center, I got a teletype, and it said, traffic accident with injuries, US 231 South, mile marker, whatever it was, request fire and ambulance. And it was signed, Communications, Nebraska State Police, Lincoln. So somebody in Lincoln, Nebraska, picked up their call for help and relayed that to the state police, who sent a teletype to us, who called Brundage, and they got the help they need. Now, my point of that little illustration is that all the transmissions in the world will do you no good unless somebody is listening. Somebody needs to be listening. And we're going to find, as we look at Scripture today, and if we're honest, if we think about our own life, and if we observe life going on about us, we will understand that God has been transmitting for a long time. But people have failed to receive. The problem is not that God will not speak. The problem is not that God has not been speaking. The problem is, we don't listen. We don't hear. The end result, if we don't hear, is death. The end result is death. Let's look at some scripture from Jeremiah chapter 32. The key verse is verse 33. But I'm going to start a little bit before then. I'm going to start actually in verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city, now this city he's talking about is Jerusalem, into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city and burn it with the houses on whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger, because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face because of all evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned to me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So look at verse 33 again. And they have turned to me the back and not the face, though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. God, from the very beginning to today, has not ceased to warn. He has not ceased to plead. He has not ceased to love. He has not ceased to speak. And yet time and time again, we turn our backs or we close our ears and we will not hear. That will lead to death. Let's keep going. Jeremiah 18, 11 and 12. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of you, or every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And look what their reply was. That is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will every one obey the dictates of his evil heart. How stupid can you be? And yet we do that today. Now we may not say those same words, but if we turn our back to the Word of God, if we turn a deaf ear to the pleading of God, then we've done the same thing. We said, Lord, I know what you said, but I'm going to go ahead and do this, that, or whatever the case may be. Well, when we do that, it's going to bring calamity upon ourselves. How do we think, or why do we think, that we are an exception? That what God is saying does not apply to us? I was with, it was actually part of the band camp one year at Troy, and Dr. Long was directing the band, all the band together there going through the show tunes and stuff, and he was directing the band, and he stopped in the middle of a song. Now, I don't know what precipitated this. I'm pretty sure something did, but he started telling a little story about an exception, and he basically was saying nobody in that room was an exception. He said, if you think you are an exception, I have a test for you to take. Get a bucket of water, fill it up with water, fill a bucket full of water, stick it down in front of you, take your fist, right or left, doesn't matter, take your fist, stick it down in the water, and then pull it out. If there is still a hole in the water, then you are an exception. If there's not a hole in the water, then guess what? You're not an exception. Well, I'm going to tell you what, none of us are exceptions. We are all going to be subject to the Word of God. If we think we can turn a deaf ear or our back on God, then we do so at our own peril. And yet so many times you encounter so many individuals, and if we're honest, sometimes we do it ourselves, who says, I know, but. I know God, but. David did that, didn't he? Really? He looked over the balcony and saw Bathsheba, and he said, God, I know what you said, but... And we know what the result of that was. Solomon can't say he didn't know. Solomon knew what God said, but I want 700 wives. And the results were predictable. Today, I want us to not make the mistake of turning a deaf ear or turning the back. There was one night I had a call for one of the units. It wasn't really a big deal, but I called him, and he didn't answer. Called him again, and he didn't answer. I called him 3 or 4 times, and he didn't answer. So I thought, well, maybe the base radio is down. So I called another unit. They answered. And then the supervisor comes on the air and says, what was his last known location? And I gave it to him. They spent a while searching for that car, and finally they found him. He had turned his radio volume down. I don't know why, but he turned it all the way down. So I was transmitting. Everybody else was hearing, but the one that needed to hear didn't hear. Don't be that person. Don't be the one that God is knocking on your door and you turn a deaf ear. You will be forever, eternally sorry for doing that. I guarantee you. 3 things we're going to look at today. The first one is we need to understand that God is transmitting and we need to listen because God is long-suffering. Scripture says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Now what does that mean? That means that God does not easily give up on you. He's calling. He's drawing. He's pleading. He's communicating. And Peter says he is long-suffering, that he will bear with us a long time. But make no mistake about it, there is an end to that long-suffering. Scripture says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. At some point in time, God will say enough, and when He does, it is over. When He stops transmitting, the chances of salvation go to zero. Because we are not saved when we decide we're going to get saved. Do you hear me? We are saved when the Spirit of God draws us to Him. And if we cross that line, wherever that line is, if we cross that line where God has stopped drawing, then we will not be saved. We cannot be saved because we will not hear, nor heed, nor come to repentance. You see, God's plan for you, God's plan for me, God's plan for everybody includes salvation, sanctification, and success. God wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ died for you that you might be saved. But He's not going to make you be saved. He's not going to make you hear. Now, those of you who have teenagers, sometimes you want to strangle them because they're not listening to you. What do you think God thinks when we don't listen to Him? Don't raise your hand, but how many times have you told your kid, how many times do I have to tell you X, Y, Z, whatever it is? Or I just told you yesterday, or I just told you this morning, whatever the case might be. And we're like, what's the matter with you? Didn't you hear me? What do you think God thinks? The guy says, how many times do I need to tell you? How many times do I have to bring calamity? Yeah, God can bring calamity. Yes. How many times have I got to do that to get your attention? And yet we turn our backs and go our own way. God's plan includes salvation and it includes sanctification. That's a big word that means growing more like Christ. Yes, He wants us to be saved, but He don't want us to just stay babes in Christ. He wants us to grow more like Christ, live like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ, be His hands and be His feet. But sometimes we just turn our backs. I got my own agenda. Well, your own agenda is going to carry you into trouble. It will for all of us. God's plan includes success. And what does that look like? Success looks like hearing Jesus Christ say at the end of your life, "Good job, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." That's what success is. Success is not climbing the corporate ladder. Success is not having a six-figure income. Success is not having all these degrees. Success is none of that. Success is hearing Jesus Christ say, "Good job, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Because all those other things are not going to matter for much if you hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Scripture says, what does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Nothing. And friends, there's going to be billions of people who bust hell wide open thinking that it's all about me. It's all about what I can get. It's all about what I can experience. It's all about my pleasure. It's all about myself. And they're going to find out too late. It's about none of those things. Because none of those things are going to last. They're all going to be burned up. You see, God loves you. That's one of the greatest messages of Scripture. That God just does not know you. That God just has not created you. But that God, the omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal God of the universe, loves you. Even when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, God loves you. And because He loved you, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place to pay the penalty that you owed so you and I can live eternally with Him. That's the gospel in a nutshell. But yet we want to turn our backs. We want to close our eyes, stop up our ears, and do our own thing. That's why the country's in the shape it's in today, amen? Because we've been doing our own thing for so many years, we don't want to hear. In fact, we want to kick God out, don't we? Kick Him out of the public square. I don't want to hear. You know, don't bring the Bible in here. I don't want to hear it. Why don't you want to hear it? Because it's telling you the truth, and you don't want to hear the truth. We'd rather hear a lie. We'd rather hear what we want to hear. Makes us feel good for a short period of time. His Spirit is calling. His Spirit is knocking. And if you hear Him knocking today, don't put it off, because He may not knock tomorrow. He may not knock tomorrow. I was flabbergasted when Aaliyah reported the number of fatalities, water-based fatalities, over the July the 4th holiday in Alabama. Wasn't it 22, I think I heard? 22 boating-related fatalities. That's the most they've had in quite a few years. They just had one yesterday, I think, in Wetumpka. So, and those people did not go to the lake, did not go to the river, did not go to the beach planning to die. They had a plan for a party, for fun, for fishing, or for whatever. They had an agenda. They had a plan, and it did not include their soul being required from them. But God required their soul. God forbid, but you could get killed going home, leaving the church. You could get struck by a lightning, you could run over by a car, any number of things. Your heart can stop. Jesus said, be ready. Pursuing the things of the world will not fulfill the longing in your heart. Only Jesus Christ will do that. His Spirit is calling you to Him today because He wants to save you. He wants to make sure you are in a close relationship with Him. He wants to bless you. Will you turn a deaf ear? Will you turn your back, or will you listen and respond? I had a little feist years ago. She was a good little squirrel dog, but she was hard-headed. And one of her favorite things to do when I let them out of the pen was to run across the road into Mr. Mercer's pasture and find the freshest cow patty she could find and roll in it and then come and rub up against me. That's what she wanted to do. Well, I caught her running out across the road one day, and I hollered at her. And she turned and looked at me and then turned her nose in the air and kept going until I shot her in the behind with a BB gun. Because I said, you're not going to do that. Well, don't make God have to resort to more stringent measures. You need to listen to the word of God. You need to hear the still small voice. And not just hear, we need to heed it and turn around. Secondly, God is warning. God is warning. All up and down these lakes and rivers, there are warnings about the speed of your boat. There's warnings about the placement of your boat. And yet, so many times, people do not heed the warnings. I loved going out and hiking at the Grand Canyon. I loved hiking down the Bright Angel Trail and the Rim Trail. You know, if you want to see the grandeur of the Grand Canyon, you hike the Rim Trail. And you can see for miles and miles this deep, beautiful gorge that God carved into the landscape there. And there's signs all around there telling people, be careful, don't get near the edge. Because it's like almost 5,000 feet drop down. Every year, without fail, they have fatalities of people doing just that. Now, what person in their right mind is going to walk up to the edge of a 5,000-foot precipice and look over? And yet they do it. Because they don't think that it applies to them. They don't think it's going to happen to them. They turn a deaf ear, they turn a blind eye, and they turn their back, they don't heed the warning, and they fall off the cliff to their death. God is warning us today. He has been warning us throughout the ages that violating His standards, His law, is sin, and that it has consequences. What is the wages of sin? Death. It's simple jurisprudence. The wages of sin is death. You commit sin, you're worthy of death. Anybody in here not ever committed a sin? I didn't think so. So we're all worthy of death. That's the sentence of God. The only way to get out of it is for Jesus to pay the price for you. And that's what He has done. Why will we not receive it? That is foolishness. And yet so many people act foolishly. Judgment is coming. It is not a matter of is it coming. The only question is when is it coming? And how bad is it going to be? If you have a house on the Gulf Coast, it's not a matter of are you going to get hit by a hurricane. It's just when are you going to get hit and how bad is it going to be? And yet, we'll take precautions. We'll buy insurance. We'll do stuff around, we'll board up windows, we'll do stuff for our house, but yet we don't take care of our spiritual relationship. We don't pay any attention. Why? Because we act foolish sometimes. We fail to heed the warnings of God. It is foolish, with a capital F, to believe that tomorrow will be just like today. It will not be. Now the weather could be close. It might look some cases like it, but I guarantee you, tomorrow will not be like today because today was not like yesterday. Every day is not going to be the same. There will come a time when a day will dawn, you will not be here. You will not be here. I'm continually amazed at the number. I had no idea before, the number of medical calls in the county on a routine day. I don't know how Haines does it with two ambulances in the county. Fire departments and ambulance services answering calls all over the county. And it hardly a week goes by that the coroner is not called to one of those calls. Almost every week. I saw him the other day at McDonald's. It was on a Saturday. And I asked him how everything was going. He said, this was a Saturday morning. He said he'd had two calls since Friday. They had plans. But God had a plan too. And God's plan is going to supersede. Are you ready? It's foolish to believe that tomorrow is going to be just like today. One day, it will be too late. One day, it will be too late. I saw a video the other day, you know, one of these live PD shows or whatever like that. And they got a call to a bar to a fight. And they get there and they break up the fight. And it's a woman and her husband, I guess, or boyfriend, whatever he is, and they're pretty drunk, and they were fighting with somebody else. They got them all separated, and the officer said, okay, everything's good, go home. Go home. Well, the woman walked out the door, and she picks up a motorcycle helmet, and he said, now, you can't drive. Call somebody to get you. Go home. So she grabs her helmet, she walks over there, and she sets up on a four-wheeler she had brought to the bar. And the police officer walks over there, and he warned her again, you cannot drive, call somebody to get you, and go home. Well, she wanted to have an attitude then, so another officer walks up, and rather than, okay, I'll call somebody to get me, her attitude increased. So you know what's going to happen. She wound up going to jail. Because she didn't know when to stop. They warned her, go home. But she didn't listen. She wanted to do her own thing. Well, her own thing got her in jail for driving under the influence. One day, it'll be too late. As a matter of fact, when the officer grabbed her on the wrist, she said, okay, okay, okay. And he said, it's too late now. It's too late now. You see, God declares His message through His Word, through the preaching of His Word, even through His creation, and most especially in the person of Jesus Christ, the living Word. We are without excuse. We are without excuse. You cannot stand before God and say, you didn't know better. Yes, you did. Lastly, it's our choice. We can turn the back to God. We can turn a deaf ear to Him. We can refuse to follow Him, or else we can recognize His truth. We can repent of our ways, and we can commit to following Him. Only one of those things is going to lead to life, and that is the recognition, the repentance, and the commitment to Jesus Christ. Turning the back, turning a deaf ear, and refusing to follow, it will get you dead. It will get you dead. The Israelites, time and time again, heard the warning, but failed to heed the warning. We talked about it last time. You've all been in the same situation. Going down the interstate, signs start warning you miles ahead of construction. Left lane close, merge right. And some wonderful individual is going to keep running down the left, aren't they? You know I'm telling you the truth. They're going to run down the left lane till they got to stop before they hit a barrel and try to force their way over into the right-hand lane. Because they think it doesn't apply to them. They don't heed the warning. Heed the warning. Recognize where you are. Recognize who He is. Repent of your ways. Repent of our sin and commit and turn to Jesus. That's the only way that we're going to have life and life more abundantly. Being stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed, hard-nosed, whatever you want to call it, will lead to pain, suffering, and death without fail. Do not do that. Here is your compass point. God is calling you today. He's transmitting. He has been transmitting. Will you turn your back on Him? Will you turn the receiver off? Or will you tune in to what He is saying and receive His message and heed His message? Your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us to hear Your Word. And then, Lord, help us to heed Your Word. Not just to be hearers only, but to be doers of Your Word. Father, thank you for your love and your blessing. This is your time. We are your people. Father, as you knock on the door of our hearts, as your Spirit begs access to our lives, Lord God, please help us not to turn our back and not to turn a deaf ear, but to rather open our hearts and our minds, our lives to you, and receive you fully and completely as our Savior and our Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.